Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Fraser here with you on this Friday morning. We'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel later this hour at 7:30. We'll get his thoughts on what's basically a playoff game between Tennessee and Oklahoma coming up tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. So looking forward to that. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, the Vanderbilt Commodores on the road at Texas tomorrow. By the way, pregame at 9:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Kickoff at 11. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Joe, we'll see what this looks like for Vanderbilt on the road. Texas is a good defensive team. At least they have been a good defensive team. Their offense has been pretty sporadic and erratic all over the year. We'll see what that looks like tomorrow. But a chance for Vanderbilt to go on the road. And if they can pull off a win, if they do it, they're going to be sitting very pretty for the college football playoff. Now, I will say this. They've got, after the Texas game, they've got Auburn and Kentucky at home. We've talked about this a little bit. I don't think that those two things are the same. Kentucky's bad. And Kentucky, you know, I think you're probably going to be looking at a coaching change for Mark Stoops. You could be looking at a coaching change for Auburn as well, but I don't think Auburn is as bad as Kentucky is. Auburn's got some talent. There's Camp Coleman out there. Auburn has won in the SEC. So, like, I don't think that those two opponents are the same. But Vanderbilt's going to be favored against Auburn, and Vanderbilt's going to be favored against Kentucky. So, Joe, if you get this win tomorrow, you're going to be sitting real pretty for the college football playoff. And, you know, it feels like at this point, each week we have a conversation about Vanderbilt football. It's just, it's the next biggest game in program history. It's like, and that's going to be that way, I think, for the rest of the year at this point. But it is still amazing that, like, tomorrow, if you get the win, I'm not saying that it's a certainty that you're in, but the percentages are pretty darn high if you get this win tomorrow if you're Vanderbilt. And that's amazing to think about.
Yeah, you're in position to, which actually would be unfortunate, I think, for us, but you're in position to not have to win at Knoxville. Now, I will say one thing about that. If you look around college football, like, like there's a lot of teams, a lot of leagues. It's not the NFL. You know, when you get into this 12-team playoff, it is certainly possible that we could have a whole bunch of 10-2 teams
yep.
at the end. And then you start splitting hairs on, you know, the 10-2 teams and the quality of their schedule, things like that. And just being in the SEC is not enough. Is the SEC the best league? Yes. It's certainly by far the deepest league with good teams, but still have to look at your specific schedule. And you can look at Vanderbilt and say, man, great win at South Carolina. The quarterback did get hurt. Also, South Carolina is trash. Win at Virginia Tech, they're bad. Beat LSU, huge program win. They might be headed toward the total stink out loudness now with Brian Kelly as their governor searches for their next coach.
Well, they may go on a run. Get the guy out of the building. It's like, wow, Brian Kelly's gone. Now he can play football.
That is true. It's in all seriousness, Vanderbilt wouldn't mind that, you know, to make that win look better. And by the way, the AD's out too. I mean, shocking yeah. after the governor told him that he will no longer be allowed to do his job. We going to get us as a football coach down here.
I love college football so much.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, you know, the win over Missouri, I think, holds up pretty well, but who knows what they're going to do. So, bottom line is, like, you look at what they've done, and I'm not trying to, like, nitpick Vandy here, but it's not foolproof. And even then, you win at Texas, what's going to happen become of them? You know, it's like, yeah, it's not foolproof. I still, though, would say they win this game, they win those two. I think they go into Knoxville pretty confident. Yeah. I'm just expecting things to shake out that way. They may not. Now, you got to keep your eye on a lot of stuff in college football the next few weeks. We're going to have the CFP first rankings coming out Tuesday. And from there, and that's going to be really interesting. And then from there, obviously, it's just a lot of games and teams that matter from there. I'm with you. Yeah, the only thing with Vanderbilt moving forward, I think it's great that they get an idle or off, either word, acceptable, week on November 15th. a late season one, especially for Vanderbilt, because I do wonder, like, if they get in the playoff, do they have the depth compared to some of these other teams, you know, that will be in the field? But I love the late season off week. It'd be ideal for them if you could flip-flop and have Kentucky be the next game after Texas, then a week off, then Auburn. Because they are. They're coming right into Auburn next week. And I understand, by the way, that's homecoming. Did you know that? That's Vandy's homecoming.
Ooh.
Hugh Freeze, you got scheduled for Vanderbilt's homecoming. Congratulations, Hugh Freeze.
That's a bold move.
And the guy, obviously, well-documented. He can't beat Diego Pavia. But they have enough talent. And if, like, Jackson Arnold runs in, he'll run around and sometimes make some plays that they could be problematic, potentially.
Think about, we just got a text. Think about saying this statement before the season started. Text says, if Arch plays, Vandy wins easily. Think about that before the year. Well, if Arch Manning's playing, Vanderbilt's going to win very easily. Look, we'll see. You know, Arch, I heard Trevor Maddich talking about this earlier this week on DVD. I think Arch is probably, you know, Arch's numbers, I think if you look at them, will be better than you think they are.
Yeah.
When you actually go look at the numbers.
Great numbers last week.
Yeah. Like if you just are stat watching, his numbers are better than you think they are. It's been so all over the map with him that I don't know if you know what to expect snap to snap from him in the game. And that's a hard thing to be at quarterback. Like when you're just one series, you look dialed in and you're making ridiculous throws and you're looking good. It's like, okay, yeah, I can see it. And then the next series comes around and you can't hit a 5-yard pass over the middle in front of you. That's what it's been for him this year. It's been way inconsistent. And it's tough to figure out why that is. I understand the offensive line has had its problems in Texas this year and they can't run the ball and that doesn't help. But it's just it is weird, almost seemingly series to series, how different he looks at times.
Yeah, well, I think one thing is I think he has a little bit of a strange throwing motion, and I don't think there's consistent accuracy with it, which I guess I never really noticed before. He'd only thrown like 90 passes before this year, but you watch it, and it's like I don't know that the way he throws the football serves him well in terms of consistent accuracy, which is kind of wild that he's a Manning. And, I mean, I know everybody kind of has their own mechanics, but it's like, why did he learn to throw that way? And then also, I think he's been a one-read and look-down guy, you know, which, again, that's a young quarterback thing. And their offensive line, I think, is part of that. But the one-read and look-down, it seems to be a big thing with Arch. So, now he'll run around for sure. And be, I still would – if I were Vanderbilt, I'd still rather the backup. And without knowing much about the backup, I'd still rather – I mean, Arch is still – and even again, he just had last week this crazy comeback where he made some big time plays. The punt return was the biggest play, but he had a deep shot touchdown, which also wasn't necessarily a great throw, but it ended up as a touchdown.
Yep.
But that's something to build on, and I think you'd rather see the backup if you're Vanderbilt. I understand the sentiment. You know, we've been joking about it all week, but think I'd go back up.
But I think the point kind of is, like, you feel pretty good either way if you're heading into this, if you're Vanderbilt, right?
You have a real chance, yeah. Yeah, you have a real chance to win this game. I'm very interested to see that Texas defense, which has been looked really good. Mississippi State lit them up, but again, we say it over and over again with that offense. That offense can make a defense look bad on a given Saturday because that's what that offense does. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden that defense is bad. I still think it's a really talented defense. But this is also a tough offense to deal with.
One thing that I think Clark Lee deserves a ton of credit for, and I know, you know, maybe some people would say this is easy because it's Vanderbilt and you're this underdog story and people don't believe in you and all this stuff. But he has gotten his team ready to play basically from the jump in every game. Now, it hasn't always been pretty. Like, the Missouri game wasn't pretty for Vanderbilt. But they've been ready to go. Like, even the Alabama game, they were ready to go. Like, they started well in that game, and then they had some crucial turnovers in the red zone that flipped it. But they were, you know, they were in there in that game. Like, I think that's a hard thing to do in college football, is to week in, week out, have your group ready to go from the jump. And they've been able to do that no matter the circumstances so far this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And it just – and there's four more here.
Yep.
And None of them are just absolute. You know, even Kentucky. Again, Tennessee made it look like they have no defense.
Yeah.
They do have a defense. Like in other games, they have played. Look at what they did defensively against Ole Miss. Well, shoot. I mean, they should have beat Texas, and they completely stifled Arch in Texas, you know? So even that team could come in here and, I mean, like, you have to show up. You have to show up to play that team. They have physicality, they have toughness. But I'm with you. I mean, what Clark has done really is remarkable. And the fact that they bounced back too from, because the Alabama game was a disappointment. I mean, they really had a chance in that game. And what if they won that game? I mean, what would we be talking about now? But they really had a chance. You know, they're about to go in and go up in the fourth, and Pavia throws that pick, but they've been able to just bounce right back from it. They didn't let it, let it last any longer than that day, and then they came back out and played winning football. It's pretty amazing, the whole thing. And that, you know, if you look around, like everybody is on, like media wise, everybody is on the Vanderbilt bandwagon, and it's pretty fun. They're this year's Indiana, basically.
Who is your who's your coach of the year in college football right now? Is it Clark Lee?
Yeah, I think so. Right? You know, it's a 2-year thing. But yeah, I mean, I think it's. I'm trying to think of.
I mean, it's different this year. Like he's, you know, last year was a great story, and they took down Alabama, and it was a dramatic turnaround from what it had been at Vanderbilt football. But at the end of the day, they were 6-6 last year in the regular season. This is way different. Like this is crazy what they're doing.
For sure. I guess it's just like to me, like last year they last year was the come out of nowhere a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, this year, what was their Vegas?
4.5.
Yeah. 4.5
win total.
4.5 was their Vegas win total. When you exceed expectations that much, usually that's a slam dunk. I'm trying to think of who else right now. I mean, Cincinnati's not going to win it again, right?
No, I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I think Mike Elko is a guy who probably deserves a little bit of consideration.
I would agree.
I think Lane. I think why the heck is Georgia Tech's coach Brent Key?
Yep.
I think Brent Key is another guy. That's probably your top group, but – yeah, it's hard for me to imagine that Clark won't win in a landslide, actually, when you think about it. And he should. Totally deserved.
Dabo?
What's that?
Dabo on the list? Shane Beamer?
Kelly? BK? Who got fired fastest?
Coach of the Year, James Franklin. Coach of the Year.
Oh, my gosh. When is James Franklin of Virginia Tech going to get announced, man?
That's a good question.
I'm champing at the bit. Champing at the bit.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your thoughts on the Vanderbilt-Texas game. Tennessee and Oklahoma is coming up tomorrow from Neyland Stadium as well. We'll get into all that in a busy weekend in college football. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Monday night matchup is the Cardinals and the Cowboys. Got a busy weekend in college football coming up. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Adam Sparks will be with us at 7:30. We will get into Tennessee and Oklahoma with him. Tennessee and Oklahoma is one of those games this weekend. Vanderbilt taking on Texas, two of the bigger games in college football. You got Georgia and Florida in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party down there in Jacksonville this weekend as well. Beamer going to get smoked by Ole Miss later this weekend as well, so looking forward to that. You know, it's not I wouldn't call it a great college football weekend, but there are some interesting matchups. I mean, look, this was supposed to be, you know, one of the big college football Saturdays in terms of Penn State and Ohio State playing each other, and now Drew Aller's hurt and Penn State's fired their coach and Ohio State is a 20-point favorite at home.
That looked like the bell cow this week, weeks ago, and now it's not good. But you've got a lot of teams right now that are, you know, that are trying to position themselves to be there at the end. And that's the magic number, you know, is 10-2. A 9-3 team this year, it is possible. That is absolutely possible depending on how things shake out. But it's also possible the other side is that a 10-2 team or more than one 10-2 team gets left out. I mean, there's just a lot of games that that matter this week. So, like a Georgia Tech at NC State, you know, the ACC and the Big 12, you know, obviously they both could end up being one-bid leagues. But, you know, they're like even – look, our guy Narduzzi, he's lurking there at 5-2. They've got Notre Dame – coming in, like if they wins that game, which I wouldn't pick them to win it, but like they actually have a chance to all of a sudden be there at the end and be like, oh, Pitt, look at them. How about Virginia? They're 7-1. They're at Cal Saturday. They have a really talented freshman quarterback. They've been up and down. They've looked good. They've looked bad, but it's on the road. Virginia has I'm sorry, John Glennon, but they've been so close to losing so many games. Right now, they're in position, you know, to actually be one of those teams.
Yep.
In the end, I don't think they're good enough to. That's a game where, like, if you're Vanderbilt, Tennessee, go Cal. Just knock them out of there. Obviously, you want the Big 12, you want the ACC to have their champion or, you know, get in, and that's that, and leave it at that.
Is Notre Dame getting in? Notre Dame started 0-2. Now, that was a loss on the road to Miami and a loss at home to Texas A&M on basically a missed extra point is how that game ended up shaking out. They've won and pretty much won in convincing fashion ever since then, right? Like they took down USC a couple weeks ago, 34-24. The rest of the way for them is not very good. I mean, they've got Boston College this weekend, who's awful. They got Navy. They got at Pitt, as you mentioned. Syracuse and Stanford. So they're probably winning out. Like they're probably going 10-2. And they're going to go 10-2, and their best win in there is probably going to end up being USC, maybe Pitt. We'll see how it shakes out. Are they in at that point, do you think?
Well, like you said, there's the rooting for the teams that you beat or whatever, you know, that you play to make your wins look better. And there's also rooting for your losses look better. And the losses couldn't have worked out much better for them since then, right? Texas A&M's unbeaten. Miami, I think, at times has looked like they could be as good as anybody. So at this point, yeah, if they went out, I think they're in. Yeah, I do. And you're right that they wouldn't have great wins. It does help them that, like, Pitt has figured it out, and Pitt looks pretty good right now, and their offense looks awesome. So I know there's people who hate that. But, again, just because you started – I mean, let's look at what Notre Dame has done. And, again, I understand those are two losses. But 10-2, typically we're going to expect a 10-2 team to get in, aren't we? So if we are, then yep. What's – so the problem is that everybody's like, they're 0-2, let's bury them. It was just like last year they lose to Northern Illinois. Let's bury them. Well, then they respond and they win out. I mean, I don't really have a problem with them getting in. The difference is that
they don't play in a conference. Like it's – they're not in a conference.
Yeah.
So – you know, which they love, by the way. They boast about that.
It's worked out well for them.
But it just, I don't know. The whole thing is, I'm with you. They're getting, if they go 10-2, I guarantee you Notre Dame's getting in. They're getting in. And I'm not necessarily saying they shouldn't, because if you watch them play, they're clearly pretty good.
Yep.
Like they're a pretty good team. I think there's a chance that they're going to get in having lost to Miami and Texas A&M, which, as you mentioned, are two quote unquote good losses. And then really not having beaten anybody else of very much substance.
Yeah. Look, and people complain. The Pitt game, it's good for them that Pitt has done. Again, Pitt should be 7-0. They blew the West Virginia. Sorry, Narduzzi, but you blew the game against West Virginia. And, 17-point lead to Louisville as Stilly's there screaming on his couch in glee running around the room. I think they're a good team, but. Yeah, look at Ohio State. I mean, we all think they're number one. I'm not disputing that they're number one. And they've done what? They went out and won at Washington. That's their best win, right? They won at Washington. What are they going to do? A win at Michigan. Yeah, Michigan's a pretty good team. Like Michigan's gonna have a good record. It's a rivalry game. They're ranked, so like that's fine. But really, like. It's just you look up and down. We were so up. Oh my God! What a tough look at that defense beating Texas 14-7. Well, a lot of people have made Texas's offense look bad. Like who out there has really like done really impressive things with their schedule? I guess you
Indiana.
Probably, Indiana winning at Oregon.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, Indiana winning at Oregon and then absolutely and crushing destroying people. Everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Except Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa almost got them. But, yes, they look impressive. I would say, I mean, like Ole Miss, they should have won at Georgia. Yeah. I mean, they just won at Oklahoma. You know, some of these SEC teams have done. And, like, Oklahoma, if they happen to win in Knoxville Saturday, like, that's a team that, like, with their schedule,
yeah.
because they have crazy stuff ahead, like, that could be, like, your 9-3 team. Like, 9-3 with that schedule?
Yeah.
Pretty good. And they blew out Michigan, by the way.
Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Oklahoma coming up tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you're looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans game at Nissan Stadium, stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer, and cocktails and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works and Old National Bank. Tennessee is taking on Oklahoma tomorrow in a game that is basically a college football playoff game tomorrow. We'll see what that looks like. You're right. There is a chance that Oklahoma could end up 9-3, and you look at their schedule, and it's like, well, they might get in. It might happen for them at that point. But Tennessee, I think for sure, has to win out here and get to 10-2 if they're going to have a chance. And again, like if you're a Vols fan, you go back to, you know, if you make a play or two, if you make a kick in the Georgia game, you're sitting in a pretty good spot right now when it comes to making the college football playoff. But Tennessee, I think, definitely going to have to win out. And there are some that think Tennessee could win out, and it's still not a guarantee that they're in at that point, too. So that, you know, depends on what you were talking about in the last segment of everything, how it shakes out, what that picture ends up looking like, how many 10-2 teams are there at the end of the year, how many SEC teams are 10-2, how does that whole picture shake out. But a big game at Neyland Stadium tomorrow. They got the dark mode jerseys. Vols fans fired up heading into this one, Joe.
Yes, yes. I'm sure it'll be an amazing atmosphere despite the uniforms. People are like, oh, who is this? Oh, that's our team. That's right.
How many people in the building do you think won't know which team is out there tomorrow?
I mean, I could, like, of a certain age, maybe. At least initially confused for a minute.
Do we think Adam Sparks will know which team is playing tomorrow? Let's head to our phone line and figure it out. Let's welcome in Adam Sparks to the program from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How we doing, man?
Not bad. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Rex Road, big-time hater of the dark mode jerseys. Do you? Is he too much of a boomer? Where do we come down on the dark mode jerseys?
Is Joe 100 years old all of a sudden?
I think so.
I just like good uniforms and not crappy ones.
They're fine. I don't know. I kind of like when they put out like the videos and the sci-fi look and all that sort of stuff. And I actually hate hype videos. I mean, I don't care anything about them. I never watch them. I watch that one every year because it's fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you make something of it, which they do, I think 90% of the gimmicks that's done around college football are useless. But Tennessee fans tend to do all the things that they're told to do. Wear this, sit in this section with this color on. They react to this certain music and these lights that play only in these certain games and the uniforms. So it really depends on whether or not your fan base actually buys into it. Tennessee fans actually do for whatever reason.
Yeah, have some of that, Rex Road. That's okay. What I'm talking about heading into this. So on the field, it's basically a playoff game for Tennessee in this game tomorrow, Adam. The offense has been really good throughout the year. The defense has been very hit or miss. What do you make of Tennessee's defense, where things stand with that right now, and I guess your confidence level in them heading into this matchup at home tomorrow, which is a place where they basically don't lose under Josh Heupel unless it's Georgia?
Yeah, defense, I think there's probably three things that have led to this downturn. The smallest of the third one is I think they missed in recruiting a lot in the secondary. 2 years ago and 3 years ago, if you look back at those classes, they had to supplement it with the transfers, which they did wonderfully well. Jermon McCoy, Colton Hood. Second reason is, I think the biggest one is injuries. I mean, I know a lot of teams can say that, And it's not even just Jermaud McCoy. I mean, if Jermaud McCoy is healthy this season, they beat Georgia. And the defense is probably at least a letter grade better. But if Ricky Gibson doesn't get hurt in the opener, I think they probably beat Georgia. And the defense is not really good, but it's serviceable. And Tennessee's in the hunt for the SEC title game. So injuries have a lot to do with it. I have a theory, too, that, you know, Tim Banks' defense, I've been told, that is pretty complex. And I think last year he was sort of teaching that to 400-level students, and, you know, fifth-year, sixth-year, even seventh-year seniors, guys that had been there forever, and almost everybody in that defense was older last year. And this year you've got some older, you've got a lot younger. This is the youngest team Josh Heupel's ever had. You have some transfers, and so you have a mixture of that. And I think he probably needs to simplify things. I think he's still coaching in the mode that he did last year. And you talk to players every week, and they say, you know, you ask what the problems are. And they say, well, 10 guys did this right, one guy didn't. And that's almost every play. Well, it's maybe you need to simplify it for that one guy rather than waiting for that one guy to catch up. So I think an adjustment in the scheme is needed.
Jermaud McCoy will suit up and play for the Vols. On what day?
Not this Oklahoma game. I think it's a decent chance after the bye week.
How much of a difference are we talking there? I mean, you know, with the way Hood is playing, how much of a difference are we talking?
And by the way, let me just say before anybody freaks out, that's not definitive. I'm just saying if you're asking,
you just
me,
reported it. Headline, tweet it.
Yeah. New Mexico State or Florida, I think one of those two. I think he's getting much closer, and they got a bye week coming. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how effective Jermaud McCoy is going to be. Is it going to be a first-round pick, A-plus guy when he comes out there? I don't think so. It's been a year. But is he a B-minus type guy, or can he play at a high level for 25 snaps?
Yeah.
So that can help them. And maybe if you can get him out there playing to that level by the Florida game, then suddenly, you know, you have your freshman corner. Instead of playing 70 snaps, he's playing 45 snaps. And I just think that would make a big difference. It's not just that they're having some bad plays made in some of their secondary. It's that you've got guys that were supposed to be playing 30 snaps or playing 70, and you're just going to have mistakes late in games when you put that kind of volume on guys.
Adam, it was obviously not the start to the season that David Sanders wanted, dealing with the injury, but he's gotten in there. He's gotten settled in now. I think he's looked pretty darn good, especially for a freshman. What have been your thoughts of the way that he's played and the way that the line as a whole has played?
Yeah, he's looked good. He's looked what you would hope a five-star freshman would look like. It's better each week. I do think, though, they have to make some decisions, I think, going into this game and saying, this is our – whatever their best five is, this is their best five. We're going to stick with this best five as long as we can. I do think there's a little bit of a temptation to get cute, a little too cute with their rotation up front. I mean, last game they played like seven guys. The game before that they played eight guys. And it wasn't just for a couple plays. They were rotating guys all around. Jesse Perry's a right tackle. Then he's a right guard. Then he's only a right tackle. And you're not playing him at guard, which means you're probably taking one of your best five linemen off the field just because you don't want to move him different positions. Wendell Moy is a right guard one series. Then he's a left guard. You know, Sham is out there some. And they've had to rotate centers a little bit because of an injury to Sam Pendleton. I just think if you know who your best five are and there are no injuries or exhaustion in the game, it's okay to go the entire game with five guys. Again, injuries happen, but I think they've rotated a little too much just to sort of like try out all the parts, and you can lose some continuity in that. And suddenly late in games, guys are not playing to their full potential because they haven't been in the same spot or with the same guys the whole game.
Okay, Adam, I hate to look past this very big game, huge game here, but I gotta hit you up on a couple things related to Vanderbilt. For people who don't know, Adam Sparks covered Vanderbilt for a long time. So first of all, if it comes down to the way it might be shaping up here, which is like Tennessee Vanderbilt playing for a playoff spot, I mean, maybe this is an obvious question, but that's the biggest Tennessee-Vanderbilt game of all time. How big will that be in the state? And then also, as you look here at the school and the athletic department that you covered for so long, how blown away are you by what is happening at Vanderbilt right now?
Yeah, I mean, it would be enormous if that happened. And it's very plausible. I mean, Tennessee could go, you could sell me on 8-4, but you could also sell me on 10-2. I think if Tennessee beats Oklahoma, I think they'll win in the swamp. And so I think you could have that set up. And I don't think Vandy's going to fall off a cliff. So I think it's very plausible you get that winner gets in the playoff game against Vanderbilt and Tennessee if Tennessee wins this weekend. It's crazy. I would hear things when I covered Vandy about, hey, we're really gonna dedicate ourselves to football and it's gonna happen and here's how it's gonna happen. You say, maybe, but you said this many times before. I mean, Candace Lee is part of it, Chancellor's part of it. When you put actual like structures in, it tells everybody that you mean business. So when I saw a lot of the renovations to the stadium, they said, okay, this is real. This is real money. Those are real bricks. Clark Lee, the fact that a lot of schools get an alum, but you sometimes just get an alum because they're an alum. He's an alum, but also a guy that would be high in the candidate at a lot of other schools. So, you know, the planets align there. My biggest question is when Diego Pavia leaves, whenever that is, can you replace him not just as a quarterback, but sort of as a tone setter? If you can do that in this era, in this NIL transfer portal era with that coach, they can win long term. Like they can keep doing this and they can be in the playoff hunt for many, many years. But I am curious if they can replace all that Diego Pavia gives them. And I don't mean just his yards and his touchdowns.
Adam, last thing for you here. You know, Oklahoma has a very talented defense. Tennessee's offense obviously has been spectacular for most of the season. And they're playing a game at home where their offense just usually rolls. So are we just resigned to the fact that Tennessee's offense is going to get into the 30s here? What do we make of that matchup for Tennessee's offense and Oklahoma's defense?
Yeah, I mean, a game in the 20s, Oklahoma feels great about. A game in the 30s or more, Tennessee feels great about. I mean, I think at this point in the year, you just have to look at it and say, this is either like what Tennessee was in 2021 or maybe 2022. And that was, you know, you're going to score 40, and you don't think the opponent can get to 40, so you're going to win. Now, the difference between those two seasons is the 21 defense just could never get over the hump. The 22 defense in certain games would make a couple of big plays where you would say the defense wasn't great tonight, but hey, it did make those two plays to help its offense. That's the difference that this one's got to do. And I mean, this defense can do it. This defense leads the country in forced fumbles. This defense is top 10 in sacks and tackles for loss. They make a lot of game changing plays. They just give up a ton of yards and they're bad on third down. They're bad in the red zone. It doesn't take a lot from this defense. It takes a couple of turnovers. It takes a few sacks, and they can do that. And if they could, you could get a high scoring game, give it back to your offense, and that's the type of game that Tennessee wants to play.
Well, Adam, great stuff as always, man. Hope you enjoy what's going to be an awesome game tomorrow. Enjoy the dark mode jerseys as well, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Everybody loves the dark mode jerseys.
That's right.
Except for the boomers.
Right. That is right. We'll Adam Sparks from the Thanks Knoxville Sparks. News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. This is 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
Cut their jugular and eat their spleen.
What do you think about that, buddy?
You think the darkness is your ally? I was born in it.
I would be teaching them to go Forrest Gump.
Run, Forrest!
Just keep running all the way through the end zone into like the exit to the stadium.
He must be the stupidest son of a liar. But he sure is fast.
Hey, come here, Paul. See that? That says exit. Get your ass out of my press conference.
Would you call this cutting someone's jugular, Mike?
1 week we're going to stink, and this guy sucks, and then I suck.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Another outstanding job by Nick Frazier. Joe Rexrode, the floor is yours.
Good stuff, good stuff. Okay, I just want everyone to recognize this week. We haven't talked a lot about the Chargers-Titans game.
That is true.
But the Chargers are coached by Jim Harbaugh. And I just want everyone in Nashville to welcome with open arms one of the all-time great cheaters in the history of college sports. Yay, Jim Harbaugh! Absolutely one of the biggest cheaters ever. And, hey, we have more evidence of this. You know, the NCAA is so mad at Michigan, they hammered Central Michigan yesterday. So if anybody remembers the Connor Stallions documentary, did you watch it?
I did.
And remember all the, you know, he's trying to like, yeah, it wasn't me on the sideline. He's kind of like, yeah, you know, it wasn't. Well, we have full 100% confirmation that it was Connor Stallions on that sideline in East Lansing at Michigan State scouting quarterbacks coach Jake Costner, who was a former student assistant at Michigan.
No relation to Kevin.
Yeah, it's Costner with a K. Had the whole plan. He asked the equipment manager for coaching gear. Didn't say who it was for. Just said, I need a little extra coaching gear. I don't know. Halloween's coming. You know, here I need some extra coaching gear. He got a bench pass from the director of recruiting, Mike McGee. He got an alias for Connor Stallions, and he got him on the sideline. It's now 100% confirmed. We have the entire thing. Connor Stallions' whole documentary is a complete BS, which we knew anyway, but just in case you weren't sure, it's complete BS. Jim McElwain, good old Jim McElwain, guy who I covered a long, long time ago, at Michigan State, actually, guy who worked with Nick Saban. He now has a show cause. Now, he retired, but he has a two-year show cause, which means if he's hired by a school, he'd be suspended from 30% of the regular season games and the first year, and then 20% the next year. Costner's got a 4-year show cause. Show causes all over the place. Hand them out. And they're all over the place in Michigan. And by the way, this week, Michigan and Sharon Moore, they quietly said, well, we're not appealing. When they were going to be like, we're appealing this. This is me. And this week it's like, well, we'll just go ahead and take our punishment now and then scurry into the corner. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It really is amazing. Like, you think about the NCAA and how, in my lifetime, basically, it's mostly people complaining about the NCAA for a lot of different reasons and a lot of good reasons. One of the biggest reasons, of course, is because they never actually hammer anyone, and especially not the big brain names. I mean, North Carolina had an entirely fake, like, class, like academic component of their university and got no punishment, okay? Michigan is no less a brand name than North Carolina. Look at the hammering that has gone on here. Again, individually, which is what it should be for these people. Absolute all-time cheaters. Congratulations, Jim Harbaugh coming in this weekend. And by the way, his show cause, I think till 2028. Do I have that right? 2028 or 20?
Is that it?
Is it more than that, or is it 8 years? No, maybe it is eight years.
It's 8 years. I think it's a long one. Yeah.
So it's okay. So is it until 2032, 2033? Harbaugh's also, along with being an all-time cheater, he's a very good coach. But like, again, what if, you know, like, what if it just doesn't work out here with the Chargers?
Yeah.
It took him a long time to try to get out of Michigan, get back in the NFL, and he couldn't get those jobs. Then he got a really good job. He beat out Vrabel for this job. But if it doesn't go well, what is this guy going to do? He's probably going to be an assistant somewhere, I guess. But he's not going to be – he can't go back to college football.
Well, when John gets hired here to be the next head coach of the Titans after the Ravens flame out this year, he can come be the assistant for John.
What if we had both Harbaughs?
Wouldn't that be something?
Holy cow. That is a dream scenario. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I think the Chargers are good, but they've lost a little luster. They've had injuries. They've had some bad luck and things like that. Okay, Dustin from Hopkinsville. Everyone stole signs. Yes, Dustin. We know that everyone steals signs. That's why they all we're doing hand signals and things like that. Do we really have to explain this situation?
They don't have people rappelling from buildings and using military technologies.
Yeah, and sending a fleet of people out to different games and buying tickets with their cameras. Are you serious?
Do we know the alias that Connor Stallion used at Central Michigan? I've not seen it.
That is a very good question. I have not seen it either.
We got to figure that out.
Stoner Callions.
Yeah.
I don't. That's a good question. Brady Hoke.
Derek Dooley. How about that?
There you go.
Harbaugh's total duration of his show cause ends in 2038.
There you go.
Oh, 2038?
Yeah, he had an original four-year show cause back in 2020 for COVID-19 violations.
Okay. Jim Harbaugh makes Rick Pitino blush. Holy cow.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Teron Davenport will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.